With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. This week, joined again by Jack Howard. Jack,
hello.
Do I say happy? This is the first time I've seen you in 2020.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Although I think the cut-off point is now.
I think
this is it.
Today.
We just made it.
I was listening yesterday to the podcast that we did a few weeks ago, but actually only just went out about films that
The
time-travelling one, in which you said, in the present, when you're listening to this, I have seen 1917,
yes.
But when I'm recording it, I haven't. So just before we do anything else, you saw it.
I've seen 1917.
I've saw it.
I've seen it twice. I loved it the first time I saw it. I was absolutely blown away. It was emotional. It was overwhelming. I can't believe that filmmaking can do that. And on the second time, I thought it was pretty good.
Like, okay.
A lot of the tension disappears the second time, and I think it's... I don't mean this massively negatively, but I think it's very much a roller coaster of a film that you experience, you get what you need out of it, and then that's sort of the
move
film.
On.
That's
okay.
It. And I think it's quite a surface level film. Okay. There's not much more you can get from it on rewatch.
Okay. I've seen it a couple of times. I think there's slightly more. But the reason I bring it up is because for this podcast, we're going to be looking at the Oscar nominations and... just having a quick scoot through as to how we feel about them, and obviously 1917 is featuring in the Best Picture category, which I think we'll come to. Should we to create the illusion of suspense?
Yeah, people don't know.
No, okay. So can we start with just the thing that I think that you and I will be agreed on is that in the Best Score category,
yep.
There is but one female nominee,
yep.
And it's Hilda Gudnadottir for Joker. And I have said, you know, ages and ages back.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that ought to win. I mean, I think they've been
great. I think it should. I think it will.
Yes, I think it will. And I think that'll be remarkable because there have been... I was looking back at the history of, women...
Guess one other female composer?
Well, no, they've been, I think, seven wins altogether. I mean, people like, you know, Rachel Portman nominated several times. Basically, when you look at the history of it, it's nothing like it ought to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that this year, in the 15-strong shortlist, there was only one woman, which was Hilda Gudnadottir. And, I mean, I think they've been
and
great.
And John Williams again, because God knows he needs it.
He does, that's right.
You know, thank God that he's getting that recognition still.
Okay, so the thing I was going to ask you was, do you think there's a chance, and I'm worried about this, not, I have nothing against John Williams, incidentally.
Oh, that he might take
yes,
it just because it's his last Star Wars
because
film.
Is it his last Star Wars, or is it his last film?
No, I think he said it's the last time
Last Star Wars.
Oh, was it Yodery what I just did there as well? I think it's his last Star Wars film. I think he said, this is the last time I'm doing it. And you can tell, like, it's
okay.
Like you said, it's a like a greatest hits.
Yeah. So do you think there is a possibility that he might win?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit like Meryl Streep getting nominated.
Okay.
Unless she's done something truly special. Like, I mean, every time she does something special, but like... when she's outstanding, you know she's going to win.
Okay.
The way Daniel Day-Lewis always wins.
Okay.
But John Lewis, I think, is like, oh, he's nominated because he's really good. But it is a shame. It's the same as, like, we'll get to this sort of stuff, but it's the same way I feel about, like, certain directors and stuff getting nominated. I'm like, they don't need this.
Yeah.
It's like, even in the supporting actor category, that Joe Pesci and...
well, let's get to that.
Let's get to that.
So just to nail score. So he's up against... John Williams for Rise of Skywalker, brackets, greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Newman for 1917. I did think the Thomas Newman score for 1917
was
terrific.
Very good.
It was very
yeah.
good. Randy Newman for Marriage Story.
Which I loved.
Yeah,
I
very
loved.
Good.
I mean, I obviously loved that film so much, but it's that score I thought was... I didn't know who it was but I could tell it was playful.
Yeah.
And then when it said Randy Newman in the end credits, I was like, what?
No, I thought it was lovely. Yeah. Alexander Desplat for Little Women.
Love that score as well. That film is really, really growing on me.
And really, really been neglected by most of the major awards ceremonies.
100%. It is a crime.
I mean, why? I mean, the weird thing about Greta Gerwig not showing up in all best director categories, you go, why? You go, well, it's not very well directed. You go, really? Because it looks really great to me. I mean, it's...
I've got a lot of opinions on that.
Okay, all right. So we'll get to them. So in that case, Joker, Hilda Gudnadottir, we both think is going to win, okay? And I also think it's worth saying that in the what is now called the international film category, it's going to be Parasite, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I don't think it could be anything else. If it goes to someone else, I'll get excited because it sort of feels like it might be gearing up to win Best Picture, which...
Okay, but you're imagining a level of joined upness that I don't think exists.
You don't think it exists.
Which is, because I've done this so many times, which is they don't give it that one, but they give it that one.
Because it feels a little bit like sometimes they go, like, Jordan Peele gets Best Screenplay for Get Out, because we're like, we'll give him an Oscar,
yes,
but he's not getting Best Picture.
But we're going to move on.
But we're going to give him this one.
Yeah.
So sometimes it does feel a little bit like
yes,
there is
but not some... giving it Best Foreign Language Picture.
Yeah.
Because you think it's going to win Best Picture. Mm. Is I mean, I'd love that... I mean, I'd love Parasite to win Best Picture.
Yes, me too.
I think it hasn't got a cat in hell's chance. But
really?
Well, funnily enough, I did a piece for The Observer a couple of weeks ago, and the bookies were putting it as a strong contender.
It's everybody's favourite. Like,
yeah.
It's to me, it feels like the dark horse of it is Little Women. Little Women feels like everybody's secret little, like, snob. It's like, Little Women should be nominated more than this.
Yeah.
And Parasite feels like it's everybody's most excited. It's the film that everyone's so excited about.
Yeah, although the cast kind of got overlooked, which is a shame because the cast are absolutely brilliant. It's
amazing.
Just that, you know, the Oscar voters haven't heard of
it. Might even be a similar case to last year where Roma won international or best foreign language at the time, and then he won, Alfonso Cuarón won Best Director. So it might be a similar thing where Bong Joon-ho
wins Best Director. Well, wouldn't that be great?
That would be incredible.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, it would. We can hope.
Yeah. They keep changing the name of that. I mean, I think, you know, best international foreign... film not in the English language.
Yeah.
Film, you know, it's...
I think international is probably the best title they've given it so far. Like, yeah. it feels the least sort of like, not English.
Yes. But I've always had this kind of, this feeling about that category, which is that, you know, it's a pig in a poke because basically, in an ideal world, it wouldn't exist because it wouldn't have to. Mm. But it is also, it's to do with release dates and eligibility. But I just think the Oscars system of each country can only put forward one film.
Which is mental.
No, it's, Jack, you're imagining that foreign countries can produce more than one good film a year. I mean, for heaven's sake.
Because isn't 1917 an international film?
Everything's an international film. I mean, everything is, like, that's the hilarious thing about when you look at the BAFTA categories. Mm. And if we can, incidentally, scoop very quickly to the BAFTAs. In the Best British Film category at the BAFTAs, right, nomination for Bait. Hooray and hurrah. And in fact, Bait has two because there's the, you know, the first time, you know, for Mark Jenkin and for his producer as well. Where is Joanna Hogg's Souvenir?
Mm.
Joanna Hogg's Souvenir, which is voted Sight and Sound's Film of the Year, an absolutely brilliant film of which she's making the second part right now, written and directed by Joanna Hogg. And you go, and at the BAFTAs, it got nothing.
It always makes me
so depressing.
Very confused, the best British film at the BAFTAs, because I think Skyfall won the year that it came out. And I'm like, I get it, it's Bond, but I'm pretty sure that's American money.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
So the definition of British film comes down to this weird kind of BFI formulation, which is now to do with, actually not to do with where funding comes from, it's now to do with key talent, location, and all that sort of stuff, which, as we all know, is a bending of the rules.
It is a bending of the rules, because that means Star Wars could be a British film, because it's shot here.
Yeah.
It has a lot of English people in it.
And equally, it brings us back to my great bugbear, which is Ken Russell's The Devils, which is a British film, but it's owned by Americans because they financed it, although it was all done here and shot here and made here with British talent. But it's, you know, it's an American thing, which is why we can't get the proper version of it. So that is always going to be a complicated issue. But as I said to Mark Jenkin before the nominations came out, I said, if Bait isn't in the best British film category, they might as well just shut the BAFTAs down.
Mm.
What I didn't say was, and Souvenir, because I just imagined, well, of course Souvenir. Mm-hmm. Of course Souvenir. It's the... I mean, I know that Sight and Sound
I've heard so much about that film yet, and I haven't seen it. I need to watch
it. It's amazing. And Nick, who's recording this podcast... I'm sorry, I'm going to bring you in. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
And you loved it.
Yeah. extraordinary that it's not made there.
Yeah, I mean, shocking, like a terrible oversight. And it's a really weird thing. You look at that category and you go, nothing for Souvenir. That's just, if I was Joanna Hogg, I would be banging on BAFTA's doors going, what did you, you know, and Souvenir wasn't eligible for the Oscars.
Right.
It had actually opened in America, but A24 didn't submit it.
You came closer to me and took up more of the bed. And you're already, I would say, further over than I am.
That's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not. I haven't got
you
that
have
much.
Bed dysmorphia. And then you accuse me of, I wasn't trying to cross any sort of threshold.
I have not got that much room.
You've got a foot on that side.
That's
and
not
I literally
a foot.
Am on a ledge.
Is 1917 nominated for Best Film and Best British Film at the BAFTAs?
I imagine it is. I'd have to look it up.
Because I think there's a world where it could win both at the BAFTAs.
Okay, possibility. I will look that up. And while I do, let's move on to the next category. Honestly, I know this sounds really stupid, but at this time of year, remembering who did what in which, because the overlap is so great nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was doing this piece for the Observer, it's like it's like double entry bookkeeping. You know, you're looking at the Golden Globes, which are a disaster, obviously,
yeah,
and the BAFTAs, which I've been associated with in the past, and then the Oscars, and you're trying to remember who did what, which category. Okay, so moving on to the next category, we're building up to Best Picture. If we go to Supporting Actress, nominated at the Oscars, Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, which I haven't seen yet. This is the new Clint Eastwood film. Laura Dern in Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, Margot Robbie in Bombshell, not Margot Robbie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I think everybody thought. Can we begin that with the, have you seen Jojo Rabbit?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's... some people love it, some people hate it, and I'm sitting in the middle being like, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think Taika Waititi demonstrated more visual storytelling than he's ever demonstrated before. I've always found him quite a boring visual director, but in this one, spoilers, everybody, I'm assuming we've seen the films we're talking about, but there is a very specific fascination with shoes in Jojo Rabbit, and it was Taika Waititi visually teaching you a language that subconsciously I didn't even realise he was teaching me. And then when that reveal happens in the midpoint, when his mother is hanging, it is one of the most heartbreaking images I've seen in cinema in recent memory. It made my jaw drop and I couldn't believe that I'd missed it. And it just felt like it was child perspective that we were seeing her shoes that often. It didn't feel like I was, you know, awkwardly being taught something visual.
Okay.
So I loved that. But I think the tonal shifts are a bit weird. I think the way it's shot is good, but still feels a little bit cheap at times. And
it feels a little bit like the war isn't actually happening.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean by that. And there's something about the sharp contrast between how silly and jovial it is and then how serious it gets, that I'd rather there would be more of a gradient in that film. But I do appreciate that it's a child's perspective and he thinks he's at a summer camp and then all of a sudden he finds out he's actually at a war. The scene that I think is best is Stephen Merchant coming to see...
As the comedy Nazi.
The comedy Nazi coming to investigate the house, because I thought it was genuinely very funny and very tense at the same time. And I think that is... Because I actually thought that the scenes before that were just sort of like ticking along and going, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need this. And it was just sort of doing scenes, whereas that felt like a little story.
Yeah,
it felt almost like like where that Tarantino would do
a
scene like that.
But here's the thing. It's fine, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's fine. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. Well, and the weird
and
thing...
And Scarlett Johansson especially isn't...
I know.
Isn't,
it really is...
She's so good in Marriage Story.
Yeah, she's just fine.
And she's doing a weird accent. She's not Oscar-worthy. And the snub here... that everybody's talking about, really, especially on the internet, is Jennifer Lopez
for
in Hustlers.
I was a centerfold once.
No way.
93.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Back when Stevie Wonder came in.
What the Stevie Wonder coming to God for?
Casey had him in the champagne room. Swears to God he isn't blind.
Wow. How come you're so good? I see you with every single kind of guy, and I don't know, it's like you have them all figured out.
I guess I'm just a people person.
The big snubs would be Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers. I think Jamie Lee Curtis for Knives Out, because I think that's the best Jamie Lee Curtis has been.
Oh, I would love to have seen that. That would have been a nice surprise.
And I would have said somebody like Cho-Yo Jung for Parasite. I mean, you know, there are...
Also, the grandmother in The Farewell.
Yes, who is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And
that is one of the best performances of the year.
And genuinely, people thought that there was a possibility. As it is, I said, I think... My money on this category would be in Laura Dern. I wish it was Jennifer Lopez, because I think Jennifer Lopez not getting nominated for this is a really big problem.
My friend Dan is a huge Jennifer Lopez fan.
I'm not particularly.
I'm not either. And I didn't really get the hype with Hustlers.
You didn't like it?
Didn't like it that much. I found it a bit slow and boring. And I was waiting for a lot of the conflict that never really came. I just wasn't a big fan of it, but I didn't hate it. I just didn't particularly take to it. I think you're right. I think it is the favourite that Laura Dern will win. And I think very deserved. I think she's so good in Marriage Story.
Yeah.
But part of me thinks, I've got a sneaky suspicion that Florence Pugh might take it.
Okay.
Because I think she's so good in Little Women, and Little Women has been very overlooked. But also, that character in Little Women is very much known as the annoying character.
One, yes.
But she's maybe the best character in the film.
Yeah.
And I think Florence Pugh, it's obviously Greta Gerwig's incredible script, but also Florence Pugh has portrayed it so brilliantly. I really, really believe that she's a teenager, and I believe that she's in her early 20s in that film.
Florence Pugh should have been nominated for Best Actress for Midsommar, as we all know.
Well, I hated that film. But,
but you don't hate her performance.
I don't hate her. I think she's incredible.
No, but you don't hate her performance
in
that film.
No, not at all. Fine. I think she's incredible. And I think that because she's such a young, exciting actress, and she's about to be the new Black Widow in some capacity, I think that it's similar to Jennifer Lawrence situation. It might be that here's an Academy Award. You are now an Academy Award winning actress, but now you're also going to be... Brie Larson did the same thing. Like, she won for Room. And it might be that type of story again, but I think it is most likely to go to Laura Dern.
People don't accept mothers who drink too much wine and yell at their child and call him an asshole. I get it. I do it too. We can accept an imperfect dad. Let's face it, the idea of a good father was only invented like 30 years ago. Before that, fathers were expected to be silent and absent and unreliable and selfish. And we can all say we want them to be different. But on some basic level, we accept them. We love them for their fallibilities, but people absolutely don't accept those same failings in mothers. We don't accept it structurally, and we don't accept it spiritually. Because the basis of our Judeo-Christian whatever is Mary, mother of Jesus, and she's perfect. She's a virgin who gives birth, unwaveringly supports her child and holds his dead body when he's gone. And the dad isn't there. He didn't even do the fucking. God is in heaven. God is the father, and God didn't show up. So you have to be perfect, and Charlie can be a fuck up, and it doesn't matter. You will always be held to a different, higher standard. And it's fucked up, but that is the way it is.
Okay, so on to supporting actor. So in the supporting actor category, Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood. Which
I haven't seen yet.
I tell you what, it is one of the oddest films. I really like it. It is very, very odd.
Have you seen the documentary?
No.
It's wonderful. I think it's on Netflix now.
Okay,
I'll really recommend it.
I mean, I'd never heard of the guy before. Yeah. And then after I'd seen the film, it was like, somebody has hurt my friend Lloyd. And I've been doing that voice. And it sounds like something David Lynch would
do.
Obviously,
for anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about...
Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers, yeah. Mr. Rogers.
Who I'd never heard
massive,
of.
Massive children's entertainer in the United States. And here just never was a thing at all.
No.
But like, now you know who Mr. Rogers is, doesn't Mrs. Doubtfire make more sense to you? Because the end of Mrs. Doubtfire is just a Mr. Rogers thing.
Okay. But Tom Hanks' performance is great. I mean, you know, the thing about supporting him, but so I think that's a strong one. Sir Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes.
Which I didn't take to either. I thought they were great in it, but I thought The Two Popes was mostly forgettable. I liked it, but it's a TV film.
Yeah. I liked it. I have to confess, I did like it, and I loved the performances. Mm-hmm. I thought Jonathan Pryce and Anthony Hopkins together were great. And, you know, I've got a soft spot, incidentally, for two blokes sitting around bickering about God.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, that's The Exorcist without special effects, right?
Yeah, and I really, really enjoyed that aspect of it as well. It was all the flashbacks in The Two Popes. So I was like, oh, this feels like a different film.
Then two from The Irishman, Joe Pesci and Al Pacino. Yeah. Nothing for Stephen Graham, which is a shame.
Yeah.
And then Brad Pitt, who apparently is the pack leader in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Which I'm happy about.
Okay, fine. So Zach Gottsagen in The Peanut Butter Falcon would have been my choice.
That would have been great.
Song Kang-ho in Parasite, Willem Dafoe in Lighthouse,
which I haven't seen yet. I'm seeing that next week.
Alan Alda in Marriage Story.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And also Ray Liotta in Marriage Story.
Yeah.
So I think the more and more that time goes on, the more and more I'm starting to resent The Irishman. I'm starting to like look at it and go, it is just a bunch of old men making a film that isn't as good as the ones that they made 20 years ago, but it's sort of reminiscent of that. I think the best part of The Irishman is the last sort of 20 minutes, half an hour, but the stuff leading up to that is like, yeah, we're doing an entire person's life, and we'll say more about this when we get to the director category, but not throwing shade at Martin Scorsese, because he's obviously Martin Scorsese and he's brilliant, but Greta Gerwig has proved twice in both Lady Bird and in Little Women now that you can do a snapshot of someone's life and not take 3.5 hours to do it. Like, I just think that it's an indulgence that only is granted to someone like him.
It's not 3.5.
What? It is? The Irishman's 3.5 hours.
It's not, is it?
It's 3.5 hours long.
Okay, well, I mean, I saw it in one sitting and I didn't... I have to say that 3.5 hours went pretty fast for me. I like it more than you do, but, yeah. It doesn't feel like it's breaking massive new ground.
Exactly,
other than
Let me put McGee on the phone.
Hello? Hey, my friend, how are you? Listen, I got that kid I was talking to you about here. I'm going to put him on the phone and let you talk to him, okay?
Right. Hello? Is that Frank?
Yes.
Hiya, Frank. This is Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad to meet you.
Well, glad to meet you, too.
Even if it's over the phone. I heard you paint houses.
Yes, sir, I do. I do, and I also do my own carpentry.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I understand you're a brother of mine.
Yes, sir. Local 107 since 1947.
Yeah. You know,
our friend speaks very highly of you.
Well, thank you.
He's not an easy man to please.
Well, I do my best.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so now we get into the big, excuse me while I get off my bike. So best actress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. Very good. Saoirse Ronan for Little Women.
Yeah, brilliant.
Charlize Theron in Bombs. You know that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, just, you know. And
did she say that to you herself?
No, she said it to Simon Mayer, and then Simon Mayer said it to me. But I feel like if you say something to Simon, it's like saying
basically
it to me.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Renee Zellweger in Judy. And my big, I'm sorry, while I get off my bike, where is Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah, I know.
Because that is
two of
the best performances of the year. And it's just like one of those open goals.
Yeah,
when you go,
I think the best thing about Us was her, and that is such a.
She's so good. I watched it again before Christmas.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah.
When she does the thing about. Once upon a time, there was a girl. I just get shivers.
It's like she was in the room just then.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
This is our summer home. Okay. We just got in today. So.
Once upon a time, there was a girl, and the girl had a shadow. The two were connected.
also Awkwafina again, like where is she in it? Like, it's such a shame, and especially because Scarlett Johansson's been nominated twice, it feels weird. And also, who were the other ones in it, sorry?
Okay, so Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, which I think was great. Actually, I didn't think she would, and I was glad that she did get nominated for that. Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan for Little Women, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy.
I haven't seen Judy.
But you kind of have.
Right.
The point is you kind of have.
The only reason I'm going to see it, and I'm still even umming and ahhing about it, is because she's probably going to win. And it's the most boring category this year, because it's like, yeah, give it to Renee. And she's going to get on stage again like she did at the Golden Globes and give some sort of like weird, oh, it's nice to be back speech. And I'm like, get off. Like, it's the most predictable one this year. And I wish it was a more exciting category. I just don't.
Yeah, no, it isn't exciting. The best
is there a performance that good in Judy?
No,
no,
it's fine. I mean, I could never get beyond it being her pretending to be. Which is, did you ever see the Judy Garland television miniseries with Judy Davis?
No,
now she was amazing. She was absolutely amazing, and I did think I'm watching Judy Garland.
Right.
In Judy, the best thing is actually the fans. There's this thing about these two fans, which is kind of fantastical invention. Nick's pulling faces. I love the scene when they take it back to...
You didn't like it, Nick?
I thought that was excruciating.
Did you? Okay, fine.
I thought she was great, actually, but I thought they were like, okay, they come out of Little Britain or something.
Yeah, but that's what I liked about it, you see. I liked it. Back in goal, goalie. Right. Anyway, the thing is... I don't know that she'll win, because I have a suspicion that Scarlett Johansson might win for Marriage Story.
I would love that. It's a bit of a parody now, because Scarlett Johansson's so made fun of. But for, like Dean said, because I'm in a comedy duo called Jack and Dean.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah. Apparently very funny.
Dean was like, I thought she was going to get nominated for Parasite. Yeah, for playing every role.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, I would like, because I think it's her best performance that she's ever done, especially since, like, maybe Vicky Cristina Barcelona or Lost in Translation. Like,
yeah.
I think she's so good in it. I would like that. It would be a nice upset. Not that I don't want Renee Zellweger to win, but I just think it's such a boring category and I'm not interested in the film at all. So I just feel a little bit like about the best actress category this year.
Which brings us to best actor. Okay, so
here we go.
Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory,
mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and incidentally, well done for calling that very early on, because I didn't buy
well,
that.
Well, no, the thing is about that as well. Is there one more?
Yeah, Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes.
Yeah.
And again, let me be absolutely clear. I love Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Jonathan Pryce. And I do think the acting is the thing about The Two Popes.
And not only did I call Joaquin Phoenix being nominated for the Academy Award, but also the fact that Joker is the leading film.
In the best film.
It's got 11 nominations.
Yeah.
It's
the
leading film of the Oscars this year.
Although we do know that you can easily have the most nominations and win nothing.
Yes, absolutely. You know, but what I mean is that, like, each year there is one that's like La La Land, whatever, like, is the most, like, and Joker this year is that one, which I find very odd.
Well, you were completely right. I mean, I have to say, I thought that the kind of the backlash against it, I mean, this just goes to show what kind of bubble I live in.
Mm.
I thought that the vitriol against it was such that it would actually knock it out of contention.
I think it's, it's in this movement of taking comic books movies seriously after The Dark Knight, which obviously didn't get nominated, and then changing it to 10 categories so that they could let in more stuff like that. Inception getting nominated and not winning. And then Black Panther obviously getting nominated and winning for score, which is an interesting choice.
Although it is a great music. I mean, the music...
It is great music, but like in the same year that I think Nicholas Britell's...
Beale Street.
Once Upon a Time, but yeah.
No, it was Beale Street.
If Beale Street could talk. Yeah, I was going to say Once Upon a Time in Beale Street.
Beale Street, yes. Well, that's fair enough.
But I thought that score was tremendous.
It's the same movie, but with more gunfights.
And now Joker getting nominated. And it's interesting that I think Joaquin is going to win, and he'll be the second actor to win for the Joker.
Because Heath Ledger won posthumously for... Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
All right, so big omissions...
Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. 100%. That is such a crime.
Oh my God.
That film is one of the most exciting, engaging films that I've seen
and
in a long time. Oh my God. I didn't see Adam Sandler. And it wasn't like when Rami Malek is doing Freddie Mercury and I didn't see Rami Malek, I saw Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
because it was, you know, such, and the same with Heath Ledger and the Joker, I like don't see Heath Ledger because it's such a like physical different performance. But with Adam Sandler, it is just Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But he's acting so differently.
He is Howard Ratner. And apparently in America, that name doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So calling your bling diamond merchant crazy guy Ratner in America is not a joke.
Right.
Whereas over here, there's a whole other level of the fact that he's called Ratner. I mean, I thought he was terrific. The other omission for me is Taron Egerton in Rocket Man. I have to confess, I thought he'd get overlooked.
Yeah, I
and
did too.
You know, he's been nominated at the BAFTAs, obviously, but I thought his performance was absolutely brilliant, and particularly since last year, you know, it was last year that Rami
Malek. It was Rami Malek, yes.
Yeah. You go.
That feels weird as well because Rocket Man's walking away with basically no nominations except for song.
Yeah,
I think maybe it's got some costume in there as well, but basically no nominations for anything major. Whilst Bohemian Rhapsody won for best editing. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I'm still not over that.
Was it you told me that somebody edited the footage of the editor going up to get the best editing thing for Bohemian Rhapsody?
Like
he's on the stage, then he's back, and then he's up the stairs.
Yeah. And they just
not,
keep cutting in close and away and things like that. Yeah. I remember seeing that scene. When the scene where he comes down and sits down and goes, so this is Queen. Like that scene, when somebody uploaded that just on its own and said, just count the edits, I thought that they'd done a joke and they'd cut it quicker, and they haven't. And it won for best editing.
Yeah. I think the omission for that is Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. I think I'm no Adam Sandler fan except for Punch Drunk Love. I mean, some of his comedies are all right, but there's so much of his stuff that I've really detested. But this was. I just felt like I felt after Punch Drunk Love, which was like, oh my God.
Check this out. I don't know. All right. So these are black Jews. All right. They're stranded in the middle of Ethiopia. It's deep.
Stranded?
Yeah. Look at. They got nothing. They don't got cars. They don't got. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, what the are these guys wearing? Look. It's on the Torah there. It's everywhere, right? Just. Where do these guys get precious black opals? That's what that is.
A black opal.
I do my research. These guys live near the Whalo mines, which primarily is red opals, which aren't worth.
Okay.
But these you can't get your hands on these things. You understand?
Really?
So look, I say to myself, how do I get a hold of these guys? And I managed to track these guys down. I buy one from them.
Holy.
That is. What is that? That's right here. That's The Rock.
I was excited about movies when I finished Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
I came out of it like rejuvenated.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what films can be. Like, and I almost don't want to see it again because it gave me such a rush that I don't think I'll ever recreate that feeling again.
I know two people who had to leave.
Because it was so tense.
Because they just couldn't stand it anymore. They couldn't stay. It was like, they said, more than one person has described it as being like having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And that is what it feels
from
like.
From the get-go, it just grabs you and holds you. And you I had no idea where it was going at any point. It is one of the most unpredictable, exciting films I've seen in a long time.
10 Tricks Point Never Score is absolutely brilliant. But everything about it is just... It's the Bad Lieutenant with diamonds. I mean, it's really got a similar kind of, you know, chaotic, spiraling towards disaster kind of feel about it. And
yep.
I thought he was great.
Okay, I think Uncut Gems is the biggest snub
yeah.
of the entire awards
yeah.
season.
Yeah, just
the fact that the Safdie brothers haven't been nominated. We'll get to it.
Okay, so best director.
The Safdie brothers haven't been nominated.
The Irishman, Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. Mm.
Joker, Todd Phillips.
Yeah. Mm.
1917, Sam Mendes.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Bong Joon-ho, Parasite.
Hey!
So,
yeah, so this is what I mean. Like, why are the Safdie brothers not in there? Why is Greta Gerwig not in there? Why is Alma Harrell not in there for Honey Boy? Why is Lulu Wang not in there for the Farewell? Like...
Why is Jordan Peele not in there for Us? Why is Alejandro Landis not in there for Monos, which incidentally has also didn't even make it to the 15 of the soundtrack with that incredible Mika Levy score, didn't even make it to the final 15.
Yeah. Why is Todd Phillips in there? Because I think Joker is a well-made film. I think it's beautifully shot. I think the sound, the music is... I think the music is incredible. I think Joaquin Phoenix is outstanding in it, although I think he was better in You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah, I think we've agreed on that.
And but I think that without those elements, the film becomes bang average. And if it wasn't for Joaquin Phoenix's input on stuff, we would have got Like, I mean, I mentioned it on this podcast before. We would have had him going into a bathroom, washing paint off his face, throwing up in a toilet, hiding the gun and panicking and looking at himself in the mirror like, what have I done? But instead, Joaquin Phoenix was like, no, I'm going to do a dance. And it's that is my favourite scene in the whole film. And if Todd Phillips had his way with his screenplay, which is also nominated for screenplay, it would have been way more average and boring. And I just don't get why he's in there. I just don't think it's deserving at all.
It's bizarre, isn't it? So Bong Joon-ho, I think, would... I'd be happy.
I would be overjoyed.
Be very, very happy. The Greta Gerwig thing is...
Right, okay, so here's the thing, right? Greta Gerwig is the most underrated and underappreciated director at the moment. I think that she has made two films. Not only are they two of the best films of the last few years, but also two of my personal favourite films. Like, Lady Bird was my favourite film of that year. Yeah. And Little Women... The more I think about it, and I saw it the other day for the second time, and it jumped into my top 10 when it wasn't in there before, I thought it was just a really pleasant... It reminded me of like a nice Sunday afternoon movie. I was like, this feels lovely and warm.
I loved it.
And then I saw it a second time, and I was like, no, this is really special.
And it's really clever what she's really done with reorganising the time frame.
Oh, it's so
really
good.
Well, and the integration of, you know, details from Louise May Alcott's personal life. You know,
She did an amazing... I'm going to recommend another podcast on this podcast.
Excuse me.
There's a podcast called Script Notes, which is about screenwriting, and Greta Gerwig had a guest episode where she talked all about the screenwriting and the filmmaking for Little Women, and she's so brilliant. She talks with such clear confidence and intelligence, and she knows exactly what she's doing, what she's talking about, and you can see that in the filmmaking. So it's so understated, and she makes what she does look simple when it is incredibly complicated. Yeah. Like, can you imagine... Like, that film not only is reorganising a timeline from a book that is at least 150 years old, I think.
18, whatever.
And not only is she doing that, but she's making it feel like a memory. She's, like, constantly making the timeline feel like it's how the main character is remembering it. But also, and she's spoken about this in the podcast, and I'm not being, oh, look at me, I noticed this. It was nice to hear her affirm what I thought that she did in the film.
Yeah.
Like... She was like, this is my memory of the book. Like, this is how I remember the moments with them sitting around the fire at Christmas while they're reading their father's letter. I remember that moment. And that's why in that film, it feels so earnest. And it feels so, like, almost over the top. Mm. Like, it feels a little bit too romanticized. But when you watch it in the context of the rest of the story, you can tell it's how she's remembering that moment. Yeah. Beautifully done.
I think the other great triumph of it is I had to do this piece for The Observer a while ago of 25 films that, you know, for children. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's not do children's films. Let's do films that children can watch, but that includes... And I put in there the Gillian Armstrong Little Women, which mm-hmm. I love. The thing about that film is it's brilliant. And mm-hmm. I did think partly... Well, you don't really need... I mean, I know there have been versions of Little Women, you know, all the way through history of cinema, but you thought, do we really need another one? And then mm-hmm. you go, oh, yeah, that's great. You've come in at a completely different place mm-hmm. because she comes in the second book, which actually for British readers, because a lot of British readers only read the first book, there's two parts of it. And in America, they were published together. In Britain, they were published separately. I thought it was terrific.
She spoke about how when you think of Little Women, you do think of them all together, you know, and how they communicate with each other at that time when they're children. But when she leaves to go to New York to be a writer, they're never together again. And she was like, I want to use that. That's how I remember them and how they're never together again as the thing that pulls you in.
It's lovely. Anyway, that then
it is the underdog of the whole Oscars.
So it brings us to Best Picture, in which it is nominated, okay?
Yes, it is.
I just feel like women, they have minds and they have souls as well as just hearts, and they've got ambition and they've got talent as well as just beauty. And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it. But I'm so lonely.
So, Best Picture nominations. Ford versus Ferrari.
That just shows you that there's still quite a lot of old white men.
Or as we call it over here, Le Mans 66.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah.
I really liked it.
I'm going...
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, it's an exciting film. Yeah, I really liked
it's
watching
fine.
It.
It's fine.
But Best Picture?
I know.
It's, and it's not nominated in any other categories. No,
Ford versus Ferrari, okay. Then The Irishman. Mm. Jojo Rabbit. I mean, I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know, I like Taika Waititi and everything, but Best Picture? I mean, bear in mind, Life is Beautiful won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film, and, you know, Roberto Benigni won for whatever it was better. And Life is Beautiful, I mean, I know it's
Mark pulled a face there.
I did. Well, I pulled a face, which is because, as my, I think my colleague Jonathan Romney said, life isn't beautiful. And, you know.
Stop lying to me.
No, but yes, I have big problems with that film. But, you know, anyway, Joker.
Yep.
Little Women. Right. Marriage Story.
Yeah.
1917, which I think was always going to be a sort of big contender.
Yeah, big time.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Parasite.
Three.
So, obvious omissions, although this is a lot of this is to do with eligibility. So Bait wasn't eligible. Mm-hmm. It hasn't opened in America.
Right.
Souvenir would have been eligible had it been submitted by A24, but it wasn't because it never had a cat in hell's chance of getting anything. Mm-hmm. Ordinary Love, which incidentally I would have had Leslie Manville in Best Actress category, hasn't opened in America because the theory was that the categories were too crammed already, so they're going to give it a later release, hopefully to make it eligible for next year. But, you know, as we all know,
probably be forgotten.
Exactly.
The same way that Paddington was.
Yeah, the only thing it's worth remembering is that that wasn't the case with Chico and Rita, which waited a whole year and then did get Oscar nominated. So there are cases in which it can happen, but it's very, very rare. Rocketman, not in there, which I think is a shame. For Sama, I would have loved to have seen, and that was eligible. And it looked like it was a possibility. But of all the ones that are in there, my vote would absolutely be for Parasite.
Mm-hmm, me too. My favourite film of the year is Marriage Story.
Okay.
But I would be rooting for Parasite all the way because I think it is the best film of the year.
But what do you think is going to win?
My money at the moment is that the BAFTAs will give it to 1917.
Right.
And the Oscars have tended to go the other way for the last sort of decade.
So you're thinking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Either Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but my feeling is it might go to Marriage Story. It might, like, go to something like that.
Wow.
Because it just feels... I mean, maybe I'm... I don't know
what no,
I'm...
No, it's a bad...
It's a shot in the dark there, but I feel like it's... I don't know. Okay, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood thing, I think, is a possibility because it's that... It's something, but you know, my feeling about Quentin Tarantino is incredibly talented but terribly unruly.
Mm.
And if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won, it would be another example of the Martin Scorsese. Yeah, okay, not for that film, but you know,
gotcha.
Although
I do love The Departed.
Yeah, okay. but you know, Parasite I think is an absolutely just drop dead classic, which I noticed that my colleague. Peter Bradshaw at The Guardian has already started to refer to sneeringly as the connoisseur's choice.
Yeah.
In a way which means it's like, yeah, you know, you're all a bit up yourself.
Now, everybody's really excited about Parasite.
And that's a problem because when I saw it, in a way, I know I'm part of this, that the hype thing is not going to do it any favours at all.
Not at all.
The best way of seeing it is completely cold. Ford versus Ferrari, not a chance in hell.
No.
Irishman, I mean...
I think there's a chance.
It's not impossible.
Like, I
think there's a chance of Jojo Rabbit winning.
I don't know.
Well, I hope not. Joker?
Yeah. In a Green Book scenario, I think that Joker could win Best Picture.
Little Women?
No way.
Not a chance.
I think that there's...
You were saying that you thought there might be a kind of... We haven't given it to anything else. Maybe we should give it Best Picture.
If Little Women won Best Picture, I think that would be the most surprising, exciting thing. I would be so excited.
Okay.
But I'd be overjoyed if Parasite won. I'd be just jumping around.
Yeah.
But if Little Women won, I'd be like surprised and joyful about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it will. I don't know. I think 1917 is the big... Is the one to beat.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be everybody's. Cause like I say, on the first watch, it's overwhelming, and I think that's what most people are going to. I think most people are going to do that. They're going to see it once, go, it was great, and I think that is more than likely going to be the winner. Even though it feels predictable, but I've got a sneaking suspicion about Marriage Story.
I don't feel it about Marriage Story, although I love Marriage Story. But I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood might.
It won the Golden Globes, right?
But also, you know, the Oscars love films about movies, you know, and it's terribly self-referential. And even the people that don't like it, and I'm kind of mixed on it, think that there are things in it that they love. Cineasts love it. You know, they love the feel of it, the texture of it, the evocation of a...
Me too. I like the feeling of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like just spending time there.
Yeah, and then but then, you know, the Bruce Lee and the why did he kill his wife? Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to just do a... I know you shouldn't ever do this. Do you want to do a prediction?
A prediction for Best Picture?
We'll go through all of them. Okay, so Best Picture, I predict 1917.
Do you want me to go different to you, just to be
different? Jack, you're your own person.
Okay. I also am going to predict 1917. Okay. I think it's going to be that.
Best director?
Bong Joon-ho.
You know, yeah, I'm going to go with you on that. Yeah, Bong Joon-ho. Okay. Best actor?
Joaquin Phoenix. I'd like it to be Adam Driver, but I think Joaquin's got it.
I want it to be Antonio Banderas.
Interesting.
But I think you're right. I think it might well be Joaquin Phoenix. Best actress?
Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Interesting.
No, I think Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. Supporting actor? Tom... I'm going to go for Tom... No, it's Brad Pitt, isn't it? Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I beg your pardon, why am I even looking at anything else? Of course it's Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Definitely.
Takes his shirt off. Yeah, right. You know,
well, that deserves its own award.
Exactly. Yeah, Brad, you're looking great. Well done. Well done, mate.
Still got all your hair.
Terrific.
Wonderful.
Fabulous. In all the right places as well, so that's fine. Supporting actress, I'm going for Laura Dern in Marriage Story.
Yeah, I think that's more
you're
than likely.
You're going for Florence Pugh?
I don't think this will happen. I've got a sneaking suspicion, so I will say Florence Pugh in Little Women.
Okay, and best soundtrack, Hildegard and Daughter.
Fine. Okay. And just to finish it, yeah. I'm really pleased to see Knives Out nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Yes.
Very, very pleased about that, but very upset that Honey Boy has been completely overlooked in every category. I thought that would be at least in screenplay and maybe in supporting actor. Where is he in supporting actor?
Yeah, and where is Zach Gottsagen in Peanut Butter Falcon?
I agree.
Because, I mean, that is a brilliant supporting performance.
So, overall, we're pleased with some of the nominations, excited to see Bong Joon-ho and Parasite getting a lot of love, but also the classic frustration that's always there with these Academy Awards.
Well, the thing to remember is all awards are ridiculous.
They are.
And none more so than the Oscars.
And I wish that was just true, but it does make a difference, and that's why it's annoying.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
I think it does.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter.
It can make and break careers.
You have to move on. No,
well,
it can't. It can't. Okay. Let me ask you something.
Go on.
Who won Best Actor last year? Thank you. Be back
Thanks
next week.
Thanks for listening to this. Who did win?
I can't remember. That's the point.
Oh, Rami Malek won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you had to think about it.
Yeah, but now he's in a Bond movie. Of course it makes a difference. Okay. He was a frigging television actor before.
He'd been in Short Term 12. He'd been in loads of things. He wasn't a television actor.
Yeah, but Brie Larson was in Short Term 12, and then she won an Academy Award, and now she's in Marvel movies. Same Jennifer Lawrence. She was in indie movies, then she won an Academy Award, and now she's in Marvel movies.
And then, of course, what about the fantastic Catwoman career? That was great. Won an Academy Award, never seen again.
Well, that's because Halle Berry's not that great.
Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. If you want some extra video content and some other extras as well, then go to our Patreon page. Just Google Kermode on Film and Patreon. There's a whole bunch of stuff there that you might be interested in. Thanks for listening. Keep watching the skies.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.